Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. The 2023 Consumer Trends Index shares attitudes and desires from over 10,000 consumers on topics such as purchase behavior, preferred marketing channels, privacy and data, as well as what drives loyalty with their favorite brands. You can get your complimentary copy of this report, along with access to several free webinars, by visiting meetmarigold.com. Marigold is the home of Cheetah Loyalty, delivering world-class MarTech solutions and industry expertise designed to help marketeers of all sizes grow the relationships that grow their business. Learn more at meetmarigold.com. Hello and welcome to episode 339 of Let's Talk Loyalty. Today, I'm delighted to be exploring loyalty from a strategic marketing perspective. Learning what drives loyalty as an outcome and as a feeling, rather than any one particular loyalty program. My guest is Jason Fu, the founder and CEO of a London-based agency called BBD Perfect Storm, which specializes in brand and culture transformation, with the goal of unlocking irrational loyalty for its clients from their customers. Jason is also a global board director and treasurer of the Marketing Society. He's a marketing fellow, and he's on the advisory board of the Alliance of Independent Agencies. Along with all this serious stuff, Jason is also super great fun. So for anyone looking for loyalty inspiration with a healthy dose of mischief, make sure you connect with him on LinkedIn. I hope you enjoy our conversation. So, Jason Fu, welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty.
Thank you very much, Paula, and a warm welcome from a very cold London.
Indeed, a cold London, and I know you very regularly get to visit us here in our lovely city of Dubai, so always a pleasure, and I've been wanting to talk to you about loyalty for a very long time, so this is very exciting for me. So before we get into talking about all things loyalty, Jason, as you know, I always like to start this show really to understand from a personal perspective as a professional in the industry, what is your personal favorite loyalty program, Jason?
Thank you, Paula. Well, as you said, I do get to travel to the Middle East and indeed as part of my job to many other parts of the world. So invariably, I think one of the travel and hotel programs is inevitably going to feature quite strongly in my life. And so the program that stands out to me is Marriott Bonvoy.
Okay.
The reason for that is, sure, they do things like enable you to redeem points for free hotel nights and things like that. But that's not really what connects me to them. I think Marriott Bonvoy do a tremendous job of really being an emotionally experience-led program that enables you to share those experiences with people that matter to you. So
okay.
Marriott Bonvoy is for me.
Okay. And we haven't had them on the show yet, Jason. So if you've got any, secret connections, please do let them know. Or if anybody's listening from Marriott Bonvoy, we would love to talk to you.
Well, I must confess, and this isn't why I called them up, but they have actually just become a client as well.
Congratulations. Wow.
So perhaps I could facilitate an introduction.
Okie dokie. Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, that is specifically actually my selfish agenda in asking that opening question, because I'm always kind of fishing for new guests. So it has multi benefits from our side. So, listen, you are the founder and CEO of BBD Perfect Storm. And I was very struck by the name, actually, Jason, because I suppose I know you from your work, from some of the clients, some of the projects, of course, through the Marketing Society as well, which we'll talk about today. But I just really thought, you know, perfect storm is a very insightful term. And, you know, clearly there's a very clear reason that any company chooses its name. So I wanted you to explain exactly where did you come up with this name, BBD Perfect Storm?
Thank you, Paula. Yeah, and Perfect Storm is meant to be something that's naturally emotional and memorable, as hopefully all good brand names are. But it also signifies the kind of intersection we sit at in terms of consumers increasingly questioning the role of brands within their lives, within society.
Yeah.
The explosion of channels of media and the demands and challenges that puts on consumer attention. And I guess how one navigates through that in terms of creativity and data and storytelling. So it really does feel like we're in a perfect storm of forces. And how do you harness those to power full effect to hopefully bring outcomes for your clients and for consumers.
And what also struck me was the fact that you came up with that name in 2013. So 10 years ago, obviously you were noticing, mm-hmm. observing and feeling, and I think we were as consumers as well. But dare I say it, in 2023, the storm is stormier. The cliches are coming out thick and strong here, Jason. But genuinely, I mean, I really do think that the world feels like an even more difficult place for a lot of people.
Indeed. And when we started the company in 2013, and we're a brand and cultural transformation company, we believe that at the heart of that, the role of purpose will become even more important to marketing, to organisations and to society. And so I guess through that, as you've observed, actually purpose is increasingly a question that organizations are asking themselves, and in a society where things are ever more stormy, as you say, politically, socioeconomically, in business terms, I think purpose plays an important part in how we all navigate through that.
And would you say the kind of clients you were dealing with 10 years ago were already clear on that, on the role of purpose, Jason? Because to me, it's probably only come on my radar, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, like the strength and the power of a purpose-led brand. And I think about the audience and everybody listening to us having this conversation today. And I think I said to you last time, Jason, the reason I fell in love with the loyalty industry was because it gave me a sense of having a purpose to take care of and literally love my customers. Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, customers are your only source of revenue. And I was lucky enough to work on a program, a loyalty program in Ireland, where absolutely that sense of integrity came through. So, but purpose is almost a level up, I believe, in terms of the strategy and how brands can really behave and become more relevant in the world. So I guess what I'm asking you is, was that early thinking for a lot of brands when you started talking about it? And where are they at now in 2023?
It was early thinking. And I guess you, as with all things in life, I believe that you tend to get back what you put out to some extent, or what you put out determines what you get back. And our purpose is that we exist to build and grow brands from which the world benefits. And
nice.
If you're very clear about that, then it's extraordinary how organizations that want to benefit the world and believe that they can have a beneficial role in society whilst absolutely being commercial entities come to you because they find like-minded thinking and values and beliefs.
Yeah.
So our early clients were very helpful and I guess instrumental in then shaping the work we did together. Which then attracts other like-minded organizations. And we're now tremendously fortunate to work with lots of global companies that see purpose as an intrinsic part, not just of how they connect to their consumers, but of course, how they provide inspiration and I guess unlock discretionary effort to put in their own organization by being clear about the role they play in society and what they bring to the world.
Yeah. And do you think that the C-suite executives that you tend to meet are clear on, as you said, the commercial benefits of actually having a true purpose and being clear on that?
That's a great question. I mean, I think the first question is probably actually a lot of C-suite executives, are they absolutely clear on their organizational purpose? Difference between kind of what they make and why they exist. And we could get into a deep conversation here about your purpose and what is a purpose, et cetera. But part of what we do with organizations is often help to crystallize and define their purpose.
Okay. Yes. Which I think, in my experience, many lose over time. So I think it can be there at the founding stages of an organization, but as we grow and as we scale, then perhaps it does get diluted. And the commercial sometimes takes over from the sense of integrity and taking care of those customers. And sometimes they start looking for cheaper ways to do that. Again, well-intentioned, but when it comes to being loyal to your customers, I often feel there's compromise along the way. And it sounds like your job is to kind of remind them of that and bring it back to a sense of, why did we start this company in the first place?
Absolutely. And do you need to remind the C-suite of the commercial benefits of purpose? Well, I guess in some ways that often purpose is compared to things like vision and mission. And it would hopefully sort of feel like the guiding north star to the organization that then unlocks all of the other commercial benefits through having an aligned organization all pointing in the same direction.
Okay.
To achieve the same aims.
So you guys don't set out to build loyalty programs, just to be clear.
Well, we do often help and advise organizations on loyalty programs, and we have created, consulted, and indeed delivered and executed loyalty programs. But what's super important for us is that's not the starting point. And I think one of my challenges and one of our beliefs is that too many people see loyalty as a strategy.
Yeah.
And I would contend loyalty is an objective, it's a goal, it's a consequence of creating a great, engaging, emotional, and meaningful relationship with your consumer and a useful relationship with your consumer that then leads to loyalty as an outcome. So consequently, yes, sometimes a loyalty program is part of the pathway to achieving great consumer retention and loyalty.
Yeah.
But it's not the starting point. But to the question, do we advise clients? Yes, we're very privileged, as I say, to work with a number of global brands on how they optimize their programs and indeed evolve them to more future-facing propositions.
Yeah. And I do think the optimization piece, really has come to the forefront, dare I say it, through the more recent difficult years with the pandemic, for example. I mean, my experience, Jason, has been that loyalty programs and loyalty professionals listening to this show have grown in terms of their role within organizations. The level of respect that they are seen to have has absolutely taken on a whole new meaning. And I would love to know, Do you feel that that's happening, both in terms of the people maybe that you meet through the marketing society and, of course, through your own clients?
Absolutely. And I think your reference to the pandemic is an interesting one, because the pandemic represented the worst recession in over 300 years. And as you know, we're moving into, in many parts of the world, increasingly difficult economic times again.
Yeah.
And interestingly, through the pandemic, for example, airline loyalty programs, they were the only part of the business that was actually making any money. So, whereas airline loyalty programs have often been seen as almost a part of the business that takes away revenue from airlines because they provide free seats through points which might have otherwise been sold as revenue.
Yeah.
Suddenly, during the pandemic, when the planes weren't flying, the visibility and profile of airline loyalty programs as a revenue driver through their various partnerships, et cetera, became super prominent. And more broadly, as we move into challenging economic times at the moment, one of the great mantras of customer retention in Naughty is that it's 5 to 10 times cheaper to retain a customer than it is to acquire a new one.
Yeah.
So surely this means that this is the hour of loyalty. This is the time for loyalty to really step forward and stand up and be that beacon to the organization as to what can be done to drive it forwards in challenging economic circumstances.
And equally, Jason, and you are preaching to the converted clearly with my audience, what I also worry about, and I know you do as well, is that there's an awful lot of loyalty programs that are not working. And I think as we come through, as you said, whether it's recessionary times or, you know, just good business management, everyone listening to this show, I know, was in a position that I was in for many years, which is justifying and defending what really generally is a significant investment, a huge amount of spend. So, you know, as you said, it absolutely makes more sense to retain our customers. We absolutely know that. But given how difficult it is to measure the actual performance of a program as such, like, what kind of advice would you give to loyalty professionals listening to this show who are, again, fully convinced, you know, preaching to the converted, but actually have a management team that want to understand why is it that loyalty's time has come? So please God, we're coming out again of pandemics and recessions and recovering, but still the investment has to happen. So what would you say to those kind of people?
Well, I guess my first challenge would be, and as you said, there's a lot of loyalty programs that aren't working. I believe the reason that they're not working is because they're focusing on the wrong type of loyalty. And broadly speaking, I think that there's deal loyalty and there's real loyalty.
Okay.
And far too many loyalty programs lack differentiation, and they fall into the trap of loyalty being essentially a series of promotions, discounts, and points-based offers.
Yeah.
That's transactional loyalty. It's rational.
Yeah.
And if we're really trying to, a rational relationship is, that sounds like an oxymoron to me. Relationships.
Not fun.
Well, relationships are emotional. So
yes.
The question is, how do you build an emotional relationship? And,
and
that's what I believe real loyalty is about, which is, how do you actually make the consumer's life easier, better, and more meaningful to the things that matter to them? When I look at far too many loyalty programs, I question how are they meaningfully conveying the essence of the brand that they represent? Or are they getting caught into the vortex and the race to the bottom of, as I say, the points, discounts, and offers? As opposed to absolutely representing and being the essence of what that organization, that brand stands for, and being able to articulate that to the customer in the most meaningful, empathetic way, with a true understanding of what's important for that customer and wrapping it around them in that way.
Mm.
So my challenge to your audience is, are you offering dual loyalty or are you creating real loyalty?
Okay, that sound bite of the show, Jason, I think right there, huh? Totally. No, and I do agree. And it certainly wouldn't be the first time in this show that we talked about transactional loyalty versus emotional loyalty. But I think you're absolutely right. You've nailed it. Like, most people are going, absolutely, but how? And I know you've done some incredible work and you have really designed, launched and built things, which I think what strikes me is, first of all, as a human being, is that I actually feel the purpose of the brand coming through in the work that I've seen that you're doing. And it's why I wanted to have you on the show to see where that kind of, you know, feeling comes from. Like, how do you go about creating emotional loyalty? Or can you give us some examples of how you've managed to do that so far?
Certainly. And when we talk about the how, I think there's, I guess, sort of structural aspects, and then there's the more sort of strategic brand aspects. And maybe we'll talk about the structural aspects first and then the strategic brand aspects.
Okay.
So structurally, I think that modern modern loyalty programs, for want of a better way of describing them, need to think about their pathway from program to platform to ecosystem. The truth is, the world does probably not need another loyalty program. There's already too many loyalty programs in the world. And if we talk about your region and the UAE, I believe in the last 24 months, something like 8 or 9 new loyalty programs have entered the market.
Yeah.
And we're talking about a country with a population of 10 million people.
Yeah.
And all of those loyalty programs are trying to own a slice of life.
Yeah.
And it's quite straightforward that they can't all possibly succeed in that aim and endeavor. So the question that becomes is, which ones will succeed and how do they own that slice of life? And the challenge is, how do you move from program to, I believe, first of all, becoming a useful platform? And what is the difference between a program and a platform? Well, loyalty programs, and the better ones, do at least seek to convey the meaningful essence of the brand that they represent. The better run programs will offer high levels of personalization, customization, perhaps gamification, etc. But relatively speaking, these are still sort of tactical adjustments and improvements. I don't believe that they're fundamentally integrating themselves in useful, meaningful ways into their consumers' lives.
Yeah.
I believe that the way that they can is by moving to becoming a platform. And how do you become a platform, and what is a platform? The platform is when you become the interface between you and the organization that you're representing to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they engage with you through that platform, you're genuinely making their life easier, better, more useful, rewarding, and meaningful. So,
nice. Yeah.
I mean, let me, and sometimes that involves things like points, but more fundamentally, as I said, it's about a deeper integration into the consumer's life. So, for example, I'm someone that, when I have a little bit of downtime, quite likes to go for a run, just as a little bit of, I guess, physical meditation. Now, I'm not a serious runner, but I do like to use the Nike Running Club app,
okay,
which I think is quite a useful platform in that it tracks my runs, provides a little bit of coaching and inspiration. But as a result of that, understands my habits and uses that data to then offer me relevant products, services, etc. But then enhances my relationship, provides that value exchange that's mutually rewarding to both parties. So super useful platform. Ultimately, I think if you can get to that, and there's many other examples of great platforms, but I think if you can become that interface, that then gives you the opportunity to start to build your ecosystem. Because, as I say, we're not, most loyalty programs are no longer trying to build shared wallets. They're trying to build shared life.
Yeah.
And the way that you build shared life is being able to usefully serve the different parts of a consumer's life that you understand and can relevantly provide. And I mean, a great example, for example, of that, I don't know if you're familiar with Discovery, which is a South African health insurance company. And within the UK, they operate as Vitality.
Yes.
Now, Vitality take a very different approach to insurance in that they reward you for living a more healthy and active lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if the more you exercise and adopt healthy habits, the lower your insurance premiums, as well as providing lots of different lifestyle benefits.
Yeah.
And then they build an ecosystem of products that support that, both in terms of the lifestyle benefits I receive, be that free cinema tickets and Starbucks coffee to hotel stays, as well as an ecosystem of products from car insurance, which involves safer driving, to health insurance, to life insurance, etc.
Yeah.
But a very clever ecosystem of both benefits and rewards aligned to the product proposition.
It's the first time I've heard the phrase share of wallet moving to share of life. So I think that's a big one. I've heard some airline programs, of course, on this show articulated, but not, I suppose, in terms of a strategy, the way you've just explained it. So thank you for that. I do think that that's probably something that everyone needs to be reflecting on, because, as you said, we just simply can't sustain. And none of us even engage with the number of loyalty programs, even as loyalty professionals. Like, so many people, Jason, come to me and say, oh, what's loyalty like in the UAE? And honestly, there's so few that I actually use that I'm almost embarrassed. I'm like, oops.
I'm overwhelmed. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. No, so how do we get you to use the program? Should you do more by everyday engagement? And of course, that's... And you do that through shared life. And that's the challenge, I think, for many airlines is, you know, for the vast majority of people, they might take one or two flights a year.
Totally.
But how do they remain everyday relevant and evolve themselves to be more of a lifestyle proposition by creating everyday engagement? And to do that, they need a bit more of an ecosystem.
So it sounds like we need to be thinking about whether it's partnerships, which is my background in loyalty, coalitions,
absolutely,
consolidation. Absolutely. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. Category adjacencies, etc.
Category adjacencies. Oh my God, we're here with all of the jargon.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I love
other stuff relevant to the consumers.
Of course.
To your core proposition.
Totally. But I do think, and I love the fact that you'll talk about discovery as well, Jason, because when I'm asked that question, which, as you know, is not my favorite thing, but when I'm asked my favorite loyalty program in the world, it's always discovery in South Africa. So the level of integrity, purpose, authenticity. I mean, I can't use enough superlatives to articulate. And, you know, I have been promised that they're coming on the show in a couple of weeks' time. So I won't give anything away until we've got them fully booked. But it is an incredible story. And I've worked in insurance, for example, as a sector, you know, again, advising on loyalty programs in the Irish market. And we always had this kind of, you know, just incredible respect and love for what discovery has at its heart. And I know it comes from the top down, which I know we often say is one of the core principles for loyalty programs to be successful, is to have that sense of purpose, to have that CEO with a vision. Adrian Gore, I believe, I've just remembered his name. Yes, exactly.
That's right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And that obviously explains now why you always look so healthy in full length.
See, but I'm not the one out running, Jason. So, yeah. So listen, UAE, you've done some incredible work here as well, Jason. We did talk to a couple of people, and I suppose we still have a lot of programs in this market that we're very keen to, you know, I suppose, share the stories of. So we'll definitely be building on what the UAE is doing as well as a market, because I don't know about you, but for me, what I love about this country is we always want to be like the best in the world. And there is, I suppose, a willingness to invest and to get it right, you know, and we're quite lucky that economically we're doing pretty well. So tell us a bit about some of the programs you've been involved in this market.
Yeah, we've been very privileged to do a lot of work in the UAE. And as you say, Paula, one of the things I love about working in the UAE is the sense of ambition and belief and the desire to truly innovate and just challenge the conventional, which just makes for dream partnerships and assignments with clients. We've been very fortunate that we were involved in the early development and a number of years ago, the relaunch of Skywards, Emirates Airlines frequent flyer program.
Yeah.
More recently, we've been involved with Chaloup, whom you'll
Fantastic.
Be well familiar with.
Yes.
The largest the largest luxury retailer in the Middle East. We're incredibly fortunate to co-develop and produce the share program for Majid Al Futtaim, which has quickly become one of the most successful and popular loyalty programs within the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
And we're delighted and very proud to work on the Etihad guest program with Etihad Airways.
Okay. My goodness. So it sounds
I should have mentioned, obviously, that Marriott Bonvoy are also now based in the UAE. So.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know that. Wow. Absolutely incredible. So, and you counted for me last time, Jason. I'd never actually done the numbers. So 18 loyalty programs in a country, as you said, of 10 million people. So it does feel a little bit overwhelming from a consumer perspective at the moment. Would you agree?
Yes. And as you say, no one has cards in their wallet anymore.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there is going to be consolidation. And,
okay.
I think more broadly around the globe, we are already seeing consolidation and alliances and coalitions where points currencies are starting to be consolidated, which I wonder about as a strategy. But that aside, yeah, I think we are going to see consolidation, and only the strong will survive.
It's very dramatic, Jason.
Well, I mean, ultimately, much as I believe that business and commerce should be purposeful,
yeah.
Ultimately, it's a competitive environment. And unfortunately, I think some competitors will be squeezed out.
Yeah, but I do think it's a right... You know, it's a good piece of advice. If I was a loyalty manager or director of a program now listening to our conversation, it might be the first time that I would open up the possibility internally, for example, of do we need to go and become an ecosystem, as you've said? Do we need to look more seriously at partnerships? Because in my view, there's been an awful lot, and I'm probably talking more about Ireland at the moment, but a lot of informal partnerships, contra basis, you know, quite gentle. But it seems that there may be a need to really take it more serious. And I know you talked about loyalty as, you know, that the strategy side is distinct from the structural side. So it almost sounds like the conversation needs to get more serious, actually, to use that word, and to literally say, can we do this on our own? Can we fight and justify that phone space instead of the wallet stuffing that we've all suffered from? We also know that people are kind of blue in the face with them, you know, download this app and that app. And to your point earlier, actually, and you reminded me, like, one of my favorite observations when I look around the world at maybe China, for example, and one of my most startling loyalty program case studies that I saw won a Cannes Lion Award, which blew my mind, was Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I mean, to me, that's not a brand at all that I would have held in such high esteem. But it actually developed and disrupted itself to the point where they built a super app, and they literally said, we want to be incredibly useful for our, you know, I think it's 500 million people they were targeting in terms of the demographic. But they actually kind of said, look, we're either going to be disrupted or we're going to disrupt ourselves. And I actually saw those words on your website as well, Jason. Mm. So it feels like that kind of that huge proposition is almost as big as we need to be thinking.
Absolutely. I think the great challenge is that we all understand the nature of relationships, and that it's a thing of mutual exchange. And yet suddenly we go to work and we seem to sort of let that all go out the window. And it's just about what value can we extract from our consumers.
Yeah.
And to paraphrase a great late American president, that's not what your program, you know.
Your members can do for you?
Exactly. What you can do for your members. And I think I know you had Maria Gideon on your program last week, and I know she talked about CPIs, customer performance indicators.
Exactly.
But it speaks to what are you doing for your customers, and how much more useful can you be to your customers? And I think if you do that and you start from that lens, then actually the benefits follow. And never more so important than in the challenging economic environment when you're still looking down.
Absolutely. And certainly what I've learned, Jason, and I can hear coming through in everything that you speak about, is they do feel it. Consumers know whether you're running a program in order to extract value from them or whether you're genuinely trying to do something that's meaningful. So I think that was the light bulb that I didn't have when I first started my first loyalty program and running it. But thankfully, the brand had it. So O2, as you know, is an incredibly powerful brand. So I think that's the key lesson that I'm learning from you.
They really do feel it. I mean, another of your guests that you've had on is the wonderful Kim Hardacre, and yeah. we're very privileged to work with Kim on the Etihad guest program. We've talked a little bit about how does the program represent the essence of the brand, and Etihad is on a pathway to becoming the world's most thoughtful airline.
Yeah,
and Etihad guest is seeking to be the world's most thoughtful.
Yeah.
Travel and lifestyle program. And to your point as to do they feel it? I mean, one of the things that we worked on a specific communications campaign through COVID with Kim was all about saying, okay, in this time of COVID, how can we create some moments of thoughtfulness?
Yeah.
And rather than, and actually, why don't we go out to our members and say, we'd like to reward you for being thoughtful, and can you nominate who you think is the most thoughtful person you know? To briefly summarize, I mean, there were many thousands of video entries of people doing incredible acts of thoughtfulness through COVID. One particular family was nominated twice, both the father and the daughter, for the incredible acts that they were doing to sort of help less privileged people, and they're actually based in the UAE. So, to cut a long story short, Etihad decided to surprise both the father and the daughter with a kind of a mystery experience where, actually they flew in their family from around the world
to have this
amazing sort of mini celebration and an incredible kind of their thoughtfulness. And what was quite extraordinary as a result of that actually was that the person being surprised was so impressed with Etihad and the perfect storm, he referred us to the head of Marriott Bonvoy. That's quite hard to understand. He was by the experience, but more importantly and broadly, the scores and the attribution of Etihad guests as a thoughtful program have absolutely rocketed, and it's for Kim to decide sort of the specifics of how much she wants to reveal. But to your point is to do the members feel it? It's incredible to see how thoughtfulness as a attribution to Etihad is rocketing.
Incredible. And I retain it every time. So, you know, Kim obviously speaks at a lot of loyalty industry conferences, and I'm always moved to tears, Jason, when she presents those campaigns around thoughtfulness. And I know I'm not the only one. So so well done on some incredible work. I know she loves working with you, and the results just speak for themselves. And again, I know she's very much into the analytics side of things. So as much as we need our hard numbers, it's nice to know that it can be done in a way that's actually meaningful. So as human beings, we can sit back and go, I can see and understand and feel how that works. So it's very exciting work and time for loyalty professionals, I think, huh?
Indeed. As I say, I think this is the time for loyalty to really take advantage of and be the flag bearer for your organization in terms of where we stand and what it can do for the business.
Wonderful. Well, listen, on that note, Jason, is there anything else that you think is a burning topic that you wanted to mention for our audience before we wrap up?
No, I think I've probably talked us out, but it's been super, super fun to be on the show, Paula. Thank you. And really enjoyed the chat.
No problem. Where can people find you, Jason?
So they can absolutely find me on LinkedIn and at bbdperfectstorm.com, of course. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No problem. Jason Fu, International Man of Mischief and CEO of BBD Perfect Storm. Thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty.
Thank you, Paula.
This show is sponsored by The Wise Marketeer, the world's most popular source of loyalty marketing news, insights, and research. The Wise Marketeer also offers loyalty marketing training through its Loyalty Academy, which has already certified over 500 executives in 38 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For more information, check out thewisemarketeer.com and loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com, and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.